Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So on Thursday of this last week, I celebrated my 3-year anniversary as your pastor, and thank you for that. I did not say that so you would clap, but keep it up. but seriously, let me just say that it has been an honor to be your pastor for these last 3 years. My first Sunday was July 18th, 2021. And to see what God has done in these last 3 years has been incredible, to say the least. We've seen God bringing people to salvation. We've seen baptism after baptism. We had 2 baptisms in the early service this morning. We have seen our attendance and membership growing here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. And so it has just been such an awesome thing to watch God move over these last few years as we have served the Lord together, as we have grown in God's Word together. And let me just say, there's not another place that I would have rather been for these last 3 years. I truly count it a blessing to be your pastor here. And as we look ahead to the future, I look forward to many more years serving the Lord right here at First Baptist Church Stockdale alongside you. But as we think about the process that a church goes through, that you went through just a few years ago to call a new pastor, there's much that goes into that, but part of it is simply stepping out in faith. Because the reality is that while a church has somewhat of a sense of who the pastor is that they're calling, and while the pastor has somewhat of a sense of the church that's calling them, there's still much that is unknown. After a few conversations, after an interview, after a sermon on a Sunday morning, a church will call a pastor to lead them. And after those same conversations, that pastor coming in to lead will hopefully have an idea of the church that God is calling him to, and maybe even have some vision for the church that God is calling him to. But again, the truth is that there is still so much that is not seen and that is not known in those beginning stages. There is still so much that a pastor will have to learn about the church that has called him, and so much that the church will still have to learn about the pastor that they have called to lead them. But here's what's also true. While there is much that is not seen, while there is much that is still unknown by the pastor and by the church, it is not unseen or unknown by God. So we're in this series right now titled Called Out. And as we're going through this series, we're looking at individuals in Scripture that God called out for His plans and His purposes. But not only are we looking at individuals in Scripture that God called out for His plans and His purposes, I'm also asking us as a church to ask this question of ourselves. Are there individuals at First Baptist Church Stockdale that God is calling today? Are there individuals that God is calling to vocational ministry or vocational missions today? And I've even asked us to personalize this question and ask, is God calling me? Now, as we think about this idea of pastors and churches being united together by God's calling, and the things that are still unknown by both parties in the midst of that process, I want to give you an overarching truth that's going to guide us through our message this morning. Here it is. God sees what we can't see. Hear that again. God sees what we can't see. God knows what we don't know, and God is able to call the right people to the right positions at the right time, not based on what we are able to see, not based on what we know, but based on what God knows and based on what God sees. God sees what we can't see, and we're going to see that truth at work in our passage this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 1 through 13 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Now, as you're turning there, let me set this up for you. Before David was called to be king over Israel, first, Saul had been anointed as king over Israel. And in the beginning, Saul was a great leader, but Saul began to walk in disobedience to God. And as a result, God ultimately removed his hand from Saul's leadership. And while we're going to look at the call of David today, I do think that there are some things that we can learn from Saul's failed leadership. First, obedience to God should always be the priority. And this is really true for the believer, whether you are in leadership or not. Obedience to God should always be the priority. Our priority should not be bending to the currents of our culture. Our priority should not be to give in to our own personal desires. Our top priority as a believer should always be walking in obedience to God. Unfortunately, Saul, he disobeyed God, and he doubled down on his disobedience because he ended up lying to Samuel about his disobedience. Samuel was a prophet of God, and so it was like Saul was lying to God himself about his disobedience. And so Saul, he doubled down on his disobedience. Obedience to God should always be our priority. Second, a prideful heart never leads to success. Now, that's not to say that there won't be some short-term success for a prideful heart, but in the long term, a prideful heart ultimately leads to the fall. A prideful heart never leads to success. Saul's disobedience was birthed out of a heart of pride. You see, Saul began to misuse the power that had been given to him by God, and he began to use that power for his own personal gain. And so, as a result, he really began to take his focus off of the one who was truly in charge. He began to focus on his own success. He began to focus on himself, allowing that to go to his head. You know, there's a saying that often we hear this said to coaches or to athletes, but I think that this is really a good saying for anyone in leadership. It's this: don't read your own press. All right? The negative things said about you can be deflating, but the positive things, it can easily go to your head as you look at your own success, and it can cause you to begin to give glory to yourself, glory that ultimately does not belong to you. So don't read your own press. Instead, remain humble and continue to keep your eyes on the one who is truly in charge, and the one who is truly in charge is the Lord. So a prideful heart never leads to success. And the third thing we can learn from Saul's failed leadership is this: that the best leaders are godly leaders. Instead of leading with pride, lead with humility. Instead of leading with recklessness, lead with care. Instead of giving in to your temptations, exercise self-control. And I can't stress this enough, but as a leader, your decisions are going to impact more than simply yourself. Your decisions are going to impact those around you. And some of us, the leadership position that we are in, we are parents. And so our decisions as a parent are going to impact our families. And so we want to be a godly leader. The best leaders are godly leaders. Saul was not a godly leader. Saul was now unfit to be king, so it was time for a new king to be anointed, and this is where we pick up in our passage this morning. So with that in mind, we're going to read 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 through 13. says, the Lord said to Samuel, how long are you going to mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem because I have selected for myself a king from his sons. Samuel asked, how can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me. The Lord answered, take a young cow with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will let you know what you are to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate to you. Samuel did what the Lord directed and went to Bethlehem. When the elders of the town met him, they trembled and asked, do you come in peace? In peace, he replied, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and said, certainly the Lord's anointed one is here before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart. Jesse called Abinadab and presented him to Samuel. The Lord hasn't chosen this one either, Samuel said. Then Jesse presented Shammah, but Samuel said, the Lord hasn't chosen this one either. After Jesse presented seven of his sons to him, Samuel told Jesse, the Lord hasn't chosen any of these. Samuel asked him, are these all the sons you have? They're still the youngest, he answered, but right now he's tending the sheep. Samuel told Jesse, send for him. We won't sit down to eat until he gets here. So Jesse sent for him. He had beautiful eyes and a healthy, handsome appearance. Then the Lord said, anoint him, for he is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David from that day forward. Then Samuel set out and went to Ramah. So, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting that question that we see God ask of Samuel at the beginning of verse 1. He says, how long are you going to mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Even though God had made it clear that it was a new day for Israel, even though God had made it clear that it was time to do a new thing, it was hard for Samuel to accept this change, that Saul was no longer fit to be king. It was hard for Samuel to accept God's rejection of Saul. And ultimately, Samuel was mourning over this rejection of Saul as king. You know, I said this last week, but when we look back in Scripture, we are not looking at a fictional story. We are looking back into history at real people in a real time. And so what we see happening here with Samuel is something so very real. The difficulty and the mourning that we experience as a result of change. And even the desire to cling to things that God has said it's time to let go of so that he can do something new in our day. And I think that this can happen in a lot of different areas in our life. It can happen in our families. Many of you know that our daughter is 16 years old now, our daughter Emily, 16 years old now, driving already. And as her father, even though she's driving now, it's hard for me not to still see her as that little girl sitting in the booster seat in the back seat of the car that she rode in for all those years. And if you're a parent, you can relate to this. There is joy in seeing our children grow into young people and even into adults, but there's still this mourning that we experience over what we no longer have. So it can happen in our families. It can also happen in our jobs. I remember when I was working for Dollar Thrifty Automotive Group, there were changes that took place from time to time. That ultimately would impact me, it would impact the department that I was working in. There were times that I got new bosses, there were times that they moved me from one floor to another floor, moved me from one department to another department. And that while those changes were fine, those were good changes, it was still difficult at times because I liked my boss. I didn't want to get a new boss. Or I liked where my cubicle was. I didn't want to have to move to a new location. I liked the department that I was working in. I didn't want to have to go and begin working with new people. And so we mourn sometimes over changes that take place. So it can happen in our families, it can happen in our jobs, and if I'm being completely honest with you, it can also happen in our churches. Because we get used to doing things a certain way, and it can be difficult for us to bring changes in. Even when the Lord says it's necessary to do something new so that He can do something new in our day, that change can still be difficult. And let me just be very real with you right now. If you're one that has struggled with some of the changes over the last few years here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, let me just say, I understand and I care. As your pastor, I understand and I care. But regardless of the change that God is calling us to, whether it's in our families, in our churches, in our jobs, wherever that might be, regardless of the change that God is calling us to, we must never allow the difficulty that we have with the change to prevent us from walking in obedience to God, even in the midst of the change. So God said to Samuel, "How long are you going to mourn over Saul?" But God doesn't just leave Samuel with that question. God then gives Samuel direction. In the rest of verse 1, he says, "Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem because I have selected for myself a king from his sons." And what we see in our passage, what we read, is that ultimately it was David who God called to be king. And so as we consider the calling of David, and as we even continue to consider this overarching truth that God sees what we can't see, there are three things that I want you to walk away with today. First, God sees our hearts. Let's look at the second half of verse 7 again. It says, "Humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart." God sees our hearts. Again, God sees what we can't see. We as humans are limited like that. When Sarah and I first met each other, I could only see what I saw with my eyes. I didn't know her personality. I didn't know her likes and dislikes. I didn't know her love for the Lord. All those things are things that I would learn. But initially, I didn't see any of that. I only saw what I could see with my eyes. And let me tell you, I liked what I saw. In fact, when we first introduced ourselves to one another, directly following that encounter, I fell backwards over a chair. Clearly, what Sarah saw with her eyes was not the smoothest or coolest guy in the world. Praise God, she still fell in love with me, right? So, over time, though, right, in order to see her personality, in order to see her love for the Lord, in order to learn her likes and dislikes, I had to get to know her. We had to have conversations with one another. We had to go on dates with one another. And over time, as I got to know her, I began to see those things. But God sees our heart from the very beginning. He doesn't have to get to know us. Here's the reality. God already knows us. And He doesn't just know us a little bit. God knows every single thing about us. God already knows us. Now, God already knowing us and God knowing every single thing about us, that can be a little bit scary because that means that God knows the good things, but it means He also knows the bad things. But I want you to know, I don't see it as scary. I find it very comforting. Because what it does is it reveals to us God's love and it reveals to us God's grace. Because God didn't take His knowledge of what's in my heart and He didn't take His knowledge of what's in your heart, the good and the bad, and decide to decimate us. He could have done that. But instead, he chose to send Jesus into this world to die on the cross, to be the sacrifice for us, so that you and I might have the opportunity to be forgiven, that you and I might have the opportunity to be saved. But not only that, even while knowing what's in our hearts, God has chosen to use us, and God has chosen to call us not only to salvation, but also he's chosen to call us for his plans and for his purposes. And in spite of what he might see in our hearts, listen, God is still calling people out for his plans and for his purposes today. Maybe that's to serve as a volunteer within the local church body. Maybe that is to go into vocational ministry or vocational missions. But God is still calling people out today. And if you're struggling with whether or not God can call you, because even though no one else can see what's in your heart, you know what's in your heart. Let me remind you again, God already knows us. He already knows what's in your heart, and he can choose to use you for his plans and his purposes if he so desires. Now, as we think about God knowing our hearts and even choosing to use us in spite of what he knows in our hearts, let me give you this very important word. God knowing our hearts is not permission to continue in sin. It is a call to come out from our sin. It's an important reminder for us. God knowing our hearts is not permission to continue in sin. It is a call to come out from our sin. Knowing that God sees our heart, David himself prays this prayer in Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. God knowing our hearts is not permission to continue in sin. It is a call to come out from our sin. So we see that God sees our heart. Second, God sees the overlooked. Let's look at verse 11 again. It says, Samuel asked him, are these all the sons you have? Still the youngest, he answered, but right now he's tending the sheep. God sees the overlooked. Samuel went to Jesse to examine all of Jesse's sons to see which one God would choose to anoint as king. But Jesse didn't bring all of his sons before Samuel. Jesse brought only some of his sons. He brought seven of his sons. He did not even consider bringing David out before Samuel. It was like he was saying, there's no need to even bring David in from the fields. Let him just keep tending the sheep, because there's absolutely no way that God would ever call David to be king. And when he does end up mentioning David to Samuel, he doesn't even use David's name. He just says, the youngest. Well, the youngest is out in the field. Any youngest out there? I'm one of the youngest in my family. So David was an afterthought for Jesse. David was an afterthought when it came to the possibility of who God would call to be king. But regardless of how his brothers may have felt about him, regardless of how his own father may have felt about him, David was the one that God had chosen. David was the one that God would call to be king. I want you to hear me. You may feel like nobody knows who you are. You may feel like nobody cares who you are. You may feel like you yourself are an afterthought. But I want you to know, even if you are seen by no one else, you are seen by God. Samuel may not have known that Jesse had another son, but God knew. Samuel might have not have known that there was a son out in the field tending sheep, but God knew. Jesse may have referred to David as the youngest, but God knew David by name. God knew that it was David out tending the sheep. Jesse may have been done bringing his sons before Samuel to consider for king, but God was not done considering the sons until the one he had chosen came before him. So hear me say it again. Even if you are seen by no one else, you are seen by God. And even if you aren't the first pick by others to be used for God's plans and God's purposes, that doesn't mean that you are God's last pick, because God is in the business of using the overlooked. So God sees our hearts and God sees the overlooked. Finally this morning, God sees our future. Let's look at verse 12 again. It says, "Then the Lord said, anoint him, for he is the one." God sees our future. I want you to see this. Before David was ever king over Israel, God saw him as king. While David was still tending sheep in the field, God saw David as king over Israel. Listen, we can't see our future, but God sees our future. If anyone, including himself, would have asked David, who's the next one that's going to be king? David would not be the one that came to mind. In fact, Jesse did not even consider him to be king. But just because they couldn't see David as anything else, just because they couldn't see past David's present, did not mean that God couldn't see past David's present as the shepherd boy. God saw David's future. God knew what David would become. And I think this is such a good reminder for us, because I think many times when we are sensing a call from God, maybe we're resisting that call, maybe we want to run from that call. Many times that may be because we can't see past our own present, or we can't see past our own past. We know who we were. We know who we are now. And so it's hard for us to see how God might use us. But God, he doesn't just see who we are now. He doesn't just see who we used to be. God sees who he plans for us to become. God sees our future. And this is good news for us. And so I would encourage you, if you are struggling with responding to a call from the Lord because you recognize that you can't see the future, and maybe that scares you a little bit, let me encourage you, trust the one who can see the future. Trust the one who knows not only who you've been, trust the one who knows not only who you are now, but trust the one who knows who you will be. Trust the one who can see the future. So let me bring you back to that overarching truth once again. God sees what we can't see. He sees our hearts, he sees the overlooked, and he sees our future. And in all that he sees, it could be that God is calling you for a specific plan or a specific purpose today. But if you've never given your life to Christ, then I want you to know, first and foremost, before God is calling you to anything else, first and foremost, God is calling you to salvation. And if you need to respond to Jesus as Lord this morning, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that. In just a moment, Palmer's going to lead us in another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond this morning. And if you're here today and you would say, you know what? That's me. I've never surrendered to Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. Today, I need to respond to that call. I need to turn from my sins. I need to confess Jesus as Lord. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as we sing. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. I'm going to be standing right down front. You can step out of your seat and you can join me down here. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism to make my faith in Christ public in that way. Listen, it's not that we believe baptism saves us, but we do believe it's something God has called every born-again believer to do. And so if we're going to call Jesus Lord, if we're going to say we're going to follow his leadership, then we need to be obedient to him even in this first step. And so if you've never taken that step of baptism, but you need to take that step, then I would encourage you to respond as well. Now maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I know that God's calling me to make this my church home. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale, and it's time not to just sit in the pews. It's time to become a member of this church and be involved in this church and to serve the Lord alongside this church. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. But it could be that God is calling you to set you apart for ministry purposes or for missions purposes. It could be that God's calling you to serve in a certain capacity. And today you may need to surrender to that call on your life, to make that call public to others so that we can come alongside you and pray for you, pray with you, to hold you accountable in this call. If you need to respond to that, surrender to a call today, I'd love to talk with you and pray with you as well. But whatever it is that you need to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.